This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to ask you the question, what is the biggest mistake good people make? And there is a mistake that good, honest, decent people make constantly. And how it goes down is like this. Good people often assume when they're dealing with others that other people are going to behave like good, decent, honorable people themselves. In other words, you and I have a propensity to, even if it's like we're not totally aware of it, I mean, we all have discernment. We all know that there are bad people. We know that. But because of who we try to be, and none of us are perfect, but who we try to be, people who try to be good people, fair, honest, just, etc., moral, etc., we automatically assume, kind of semi-consciously, that other people and other groups are going to treat us and deal with us basically the same way we would deal with them. And again, even though we're not perfect, we attempt to do the right thing. And doing the right thing is always important to people who are good. But the truth of the matter is that there are a lot of people. Yeah, unfortunately, it's a tragedy, but there are a lot of people alive and dead who don't try to do the right thing. Now, they conceal it because in order to get along in society, you have to come off like you're trying to do the right thing, even if you're not. Some people are so self-deceived that they can do all kinds of evil things and convince themselves they're still good people. But we assume that other people are going to try to do the right thing. They're going to try to be good. And this is where we get into the biggest mistake good people make. They make the mistake over and over and over again that other people, other groups, are going to try to do the right thing, and they're going to try to be good and decent and honest and honorable and so on and so forth. But the fact of the matter is, if we really believe what the Bible teaches us, which is that all men and women alive, all of us, that includes me, it includes you, every single person alive, is born with a fallen human nature that is predisposed to sin from the time of birth on. Why? Because you see, you and I are not humanists. We don't believe in the fairy tale that, you know, random evolution produced us from random chance and accident over 300 million years. We don't believe that total dumb fairy tale that, you know, we started out as like a rock and then somehow evolved into something living. And then over hundreds of millions of years, poof, mankind came to be. We don't believe in the fairy tale of evolution. Why? Because it's irrational. It's not logical. And it's certainly not scientific. We believe in the scientific account of creation, which is that an infinite personal living God of the universe, the Creator, capital C, created everything because God, the Supreme Being, is super intelligent. He created everything and every person. And we believe the biblical account that Adam and Eve at one time lived in paradise on earth in the Garden of Eden, but they blew it because they rejected the word of God. And when they rejected the word of God by listening to Lucifer speaking to them through a reptilian being, they fell. And when they fell, that meant the death force entered into their bodies, souls, and minds, and hearts. And the death force was the signature of being fallen and sinful, because Death is not natural. Death only happens because we are fallen, sinful creatures, and we're in need of a savior or a salvation through Jesus Christ. So we know from what the Bible has to say, because what the Bible has to say is totally opposite from what humanism teaches. The Bible says that all men and women born are born as fallen creatures or sinful creatures. Now, that doesn't mean we can't, that doesn't mean that we as fallen creatures and sinful creatures can't do a lot of good things. We can. And one of the number one things we do is we are very good at covering up our sinfulness, our self-centeredness, our evil, covering it up with good works, good deeds, or acting outwardly nice. But what I'm going to get into is a lot more intense than that. And that has to do with the fact that we live in a real world where everybody born into this world comes into this world as babies with a fallen human nature, or what the Bible says is a sinful human nature, which is the exact opposite of what secular humanism teaches. Secular humanism teaches that every person is good, which is a lie. We all know that every person is not good. And we all know, at the very least, that everybody born into the world is self-centered. Just look at little babies. Babies are cute. They're wonderful. They're sweet. But they're self-centered. Now you say, well, that's because they have to survive. Well, that's true. But babies get to be older. They're still self-centered. Teenagers, still self-centered. Adults, self-centered. We're all self-centered. And until we invite Christ into our lives and he makes us born again, which takes us out of being fallen human beings, sinful human beings, and he gives us his divine nature through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, people can be good and honorable and decent and virtuous without having to be born again. But they fool themselves if they think you can be 100% virtuous or good without being born again. How do we know that? The Bible says that. Nobody can get into heaven based on their good works. Nobody. So if somebody's trying to get into heaven because they think they're so good, so virtuous, they're in for a rude awakening, because God's standard is perfection. And nobody can do that. That's why we need to be saved. That's why we need to be have our sins cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So let's talk about dynamics. I often use this to illustrate this point. There was a serial killer. Many of you, probably most of you, remember the name of this serial killer, Ted Bundy. Notorious serial killer. Murdered I don't know how many women, but a lot in horrible ways. It was said of Ted Bundy that he had a girlfriend who he really loved. And according to what I've read, and I try not to read a whole lot about Ted Bundy, but according to what I've read, that he really loved his girlfriend and treated his girlfriend in a very wonderful way. As I understand it, he treated his girlfriend like a princess, never did anything bad to her. But he had this secret life where he would woo other women and do horrible things to them and kill them. But see, Ted Bundy was, as is the case with many serial killers and is the case with many people who are incredibly evil, but going back to Ted Bundy, he was very, very good. He was a pro's pro at coming off like a gentleman. He came off like a man of integrity. He came off as the ideal, perfect guy. And that's why women he was like a magnet for women, because they thought he was so incredible because he was relatively handsome. I mean, I'm not a woman. I don't know if he's handsome or not, or was handsome or not. I have no idea. but he was charming, he was sensitive, he was caring, he was loving, he had all the sensitivities that attract women to a man. He had all these caring, loving, kind, sensitive qualities. None of these women that Ted Bundy began to date or to began to spend time with had any, not in their wildest imaginations, did any of these women think that he was going to do the unspeakable to them and kill them in the most horrible way that I don't even want to think about how horrible their deaths were. None of these women knew that they were prey for Ted Bundy, because Ted Bundy knew how to put on an act like nobody could put on an act. Ted Bundy, the serial killer, knew when it was showtime. Okay, so when it was showtime, Ted Bundy was the ideal male, caring, sensitive, gentlemanly, holding doors open, opening car doors, a kind, compassionate, came off with a man of incredible, impeccable integrity and virtue. But it was all an act. But it was a perfect act. He was so good at deceiving women and others, not just women, anybody he would meet. He was like the perfect guy of integrity, virtuous, caring, sensitive, honorable, trustworthy. Not just women, anybody he met thought he was like the perfect guy, okay? Everybody trusted him. And the truth was, he was a monster, an unspeakable, sadistic monster. Now, the point I'm trying to make is, why could people not see through his disguise? Well, first, as we've already said, Ted Bundy, the serial killer, was incredibly, incredibly gifted about putting on his act of being a sincere, genuine, caring guy of integrity. He was very good at it. That's why people couldn't see through it, because he was good at his act. But the other thing is, people that are trying to do the right thing, people that are basically virtuous, people that try to be good people, etc., here's the area of vulnerability. Here's the danger area that I'm trying to warn you about. There's a big danger area in your life and in my life. And this is the danger area. Because you and I believe in trying to do the right thing. Because we try to be good people. We try to be virtuous and honest and have integrity. We try to be caring and sensitive and kind, etc. We try to be loving, etc. Because that's the way we are. We somehow assume that other people have those same inner qualities. And therefore, we forget a lot of the times. I want you to pay close attention to what I'm saying. We forget a lot of the times, as we're moving in society, as we're meeting people on the job. I'm not saying everybody's a serial killer, obviously. I'm just using the Ted Bundy thing as a graphic, alarming example of how somebody could masquerade being good so perfectly, yet was evil. We forget, as we are in society, as we meet people, as we watch the television news, etc., we forget how serious God's word is regarding the sinful nature of man and woman, and the reality of the fact that every one of us are born as fallen human beings. We forget that because, you see, that, like this famous psychology book bestseller, I'm Okay, You're Okay. I think the guy was Dr. Eric Byrne who wrote that. No, you're not okay. I'm not okay. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, and everybody out there are sinners. We're not okay. See, that's a lie. That's a lie of humanism. Now, like I said before, you can be a humanist and be very good. Doesn't mean you're a horrible person. I know some humanists. I know a particular humanist. Some of the nicest, Most virtuous, caring, giving, loving people I know are not Christians. They're humanists, secular humanists. That's weird, but it happens to be true. Now, but also, there can be, just because you're born again and call yourself a Christian, we all know for a fact, we've all met a lot of people who said they were born again and Christians and go to church and know their Bibles, who are some of the most selfish, hypocritical, mean, dishonest, nasty, ruthless people you'll ever meet. And if you don't like hearing it, well, I hate to break your heart, but I've been around the block and I think you have too. Some of the nastiest, most selfish, most conniving, most dishonest people that I have met in my lifetime were born again, Bible reading Christians who attended church. You say, how can that be? Because they were faking it. Now, I'm not saying they weren't born again. You can be born again and have all those monstrous qualities. Whether you're truly born again or not is a different question, and only God knows that. But at the very least, you're not living a spirit-controlled life. Because if you were living under the control of the Holy Spirit, it would be love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, stuff like that. So, see, we don't live in a black and white world where just because somebody's a Christian, they're good, you know, that Christians can be notorious hypocrites. But the people we want to watch out for, and title is secondary, because you will meet among those who call themselves Christians, born-again Christians, who supposedly read their Bible, who go to church, you will find people in that category who are totally in it for themselves, and they're ruthlessly selfish, ruthlessly selfish. And in the category of people who are humanists, you'll meet good humanists, and you'll meet humanists that are bad. It's a matter of what a person chooses to do, moment by moment, day by day. Now, again, you can only get into heaven by faith in Christ, period. But what we forget as we look upon the landscape of reality and life as we mix with people is that there's a whole lot of people out there who, in their inner man or woman, are really not trying to be good. And they have a secret inner set of values that is 100% opposite of the values that you and I have. I'll give you a case in point. One of the major principles of communism, Marxism, and yes, socialism, because remember, socialism, according to the definition of the people who invented socialism, according to the definition of the communists and the Marxists, and they were the ones who invented socialism, all communist dictatorships, by the way, go under the name of being socialist nations. So why is it that all communist Marxist nations call themselves socialist nations? So Marxists and communists created socialism. And they'll be the leaders and architects of communism and Marxism will be the first people to tell you that there's really, in fact, no such thing as socialism. Socialism is nothing more than a seduction phase, the first step into communism and Marxism. And that's why Lenin called people who were socialists, especially American intellectuals and media people, the useful idiots. Socialism operates under the same revolutionary principles that communism and Marxism do. And one of their main principles is by any means necessary. And when socialists, Marxists, and communists say by any means necessary, what they mean is that the end justifies the means. So they give themselves full permission to lie, steal, murder, cheat, to do anything it takes. Anything it takes is perfectly acceptable. They feel no guilt because their core belief is by any means necessary, or the end justifies the means, which means that they have permission to do anything, to break any moral law, any legal law, to do anything, absolutely anything, lie, cheat, steal, murder, whatever it takes to accomplish a socialist, Marxist, communist revolution. That's the primary principle of communism, Marxism, and socialism. So when you're dealing with people who are committed socialist, communists, and Marxists, I don't care what flowery, sweet talk they give you, if they're truly committed socialists, Marxists, and communists, they believe in the communist principle set forth by Karl Marx, author of the Communist Manifesto, by any means necessary. So they will manipulate statistics, they will lie, they will do anything in the political arena, no matter how dirty, no matter how underhanded, no matter how evil, no matter how deceitful. They will do absolutely anything, and it's fully justified because it will bring in their utopia on earth, their communist, Marxist, socialist utopia, which of course never happens. It always becomes a totalitarian regime that destroys people. It's a monster. It's a Frankenstein. So you see them operate in the public arena, on television, as directors, as people in the entertainment industry, as people who are heads of corporations or whatever. And they know in order to accomplish their goals, they have to come off like good, caring, kind people. So like Ted Bundy, and again, I'm not equating the majority of them with being Ted Bundy, but like Ted Bundy, the more successful they are in terms of convincing you and the masses that they're good, caring, kind, decent, honest people, and in fact, they're ruthless and will do anything, they put on an act of compassion. They put on an act of caring. They will lie and lie and lie and lie. Communism, Marxism, socialism always advances by lies and deception, because the truth of communism, socialism, and Marxism is a dictatorship that enslaves, the loss of all your freedoms and rights, and slavery like you've never seen it before. That's the truth. That's the historical truth and contemporary truth of communism, Marxism, and socialism. And there's no deviation from that whatsoever in history and in contemporary times. None. So you're walking around, and if you're naive and you kind of get lulled to sleep because somebody is outwardly nice and has a smile and acts compassionate and says caring things, so they say, you know, words to seduce you, like they love social justice. They want to equally redistribute the wealth. They want to give you, they care about you. They want to give you universal health care. All these flowery promises, it makes them look so compassionate and caring. But they know full well they can't deliver on these promises unless they're idiots. And so you will be, people you know will be seduced into voting for them. And then you find yourself in a prison camp. Am I exaggerating? No, I'm understating. I'm understating the reality of the situation. So you have people in the public arena, major celebrities, major politicians, cultural leaders of all kinds. You hear speeches. People say anything. And they pray. You know, they're just like Ted Bundy in their skill at coming off likable, caring, compassionate. They're the ultimate at seduction in terms of promises of caring and you know, stuff like that. And it's just the spider's web of evil to entrap you. How does it happen? How is it? Now, ask yourself the question. How is it that so many millions and millions and millions of Christians are so easily deceived, so easily seduced, so easily their minds are captured? How come there's such a massive percentage, countless millions of Christians, who are just ripe for the taking? No street smarts at all. No ability to see through the masquerade. How come? How could that be? Well, one major factor is this. All of us, that includes you and me, are predisposed into kind of going to sleep and falsely thinking that everybody around us is really like us inside, when the hard, cold, nasty, dirty truth is they're not just like us. They're faking like they're caring and loving, like Ted Bundy did. But they're really, in their core of their soul, they're saying by any means necessary. And they give themselves permission to be ruthless and strike with a vengeance, break all the rules, and they will do whatever it takes to get what they want. And they will break all the laws of God and all the laws of man to do it. And Christians in America are very naive. They're naive and they're soft because they go to soft churches and they hear a soft Bible message. They don't hear the truth. So because they don't hear the truth, there's no iron to sharpen iron. They're dull-witted. Dull-witted. They can't tell when they're being hustled. They have no ability to perceive when they're being conned. They have no ability to know when a wolf in sheep's clothing has come. They're not walking close enough to Jesus Christ to hear the Holy Spirit speak to them and say, warning, watch out, get away from this person, get your guard up, even though the person's all sweet and flowery. Because they don't even know how to walk close to Christ. They choose churches where there's no emphasis on walking close with Christ. They go to churches where you have emotion as a counterfeit for walking close with Christ. And see, if you don't wise up, anybody who grew up in any city environment, and I suppose in many rural environments, you develop street smarts or country smarts or whatever you call it, where you realize in order to survive, you can't walk around like a Dumbo. To survive, you have to be able to see things, sense things, know things. Otherwise, you're prey. So we have Christians in America who are being served up to being prey. They're going to be preyed on by wolves, savage wolves. You have no idea how savage this will be. You have no idea. I'm not talking about you, the listeners to the Paul McGuire Report. You know. That's why you have to spread the word to others. That's why I strongly encourage you to get my brand new book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. You can get it at a discount now at paulmcguire.us. To understand what this greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind is. And right now in our nation, the deception of socialist promises. This is not a partisan issue. You have socialists on the Republican side. Socialism is communism under a different name. Communism and Marxism are socialism. It's the same system, they're just different names. And it's a humanistic belief system that man can solve his problems by himself, that there is no sinful nature to man, and that the reason people are evil and steal and do bad things is because of economic injustice or economic inequality, and that once you redistribute the wealth, then everybody will act wonderful towards one another. It's a very seductive promise, but it's also based on a lie. The lie that man is basically good, and it's only his environment that makes him or her evil. And therefore, what produces criminals and murderers and rapists and stuff like that is economic inequality. Really? Is that really the truth? Is it really true that man is basically good, and it's just economic inequality that produces all these killers, murderers, rapists, thieves? Because all you have to do is go back 30, 35 years in American history. Let's go back 35 years in American history. You didn't have the crime wave that you're having now. People weren't, let's go back 40 years, 45 years, 50 years. You had people everywhere. But you didn't have the amount of evil that you had now. And we have more socialist programs in place than we ever have before. So how come people, you could go back to the Great Depression in America in the 1920s. When the stock market crashed, people were out on the street, homeless. I'm not talking about a percentage of people being homeless. I'm talking about a massive percentage being homeless. Talk about economic inequality. Americans all across the nation were starving. They had no homes. They had nothing. How come they weren't killing, raping, stabbing, shooting, and murdering each other? If economic inequality is the cause of social evils, why is it that during the time of greatest economic inequality in the history of the United States, the Great Depression, people behaved themselves, acted honorably towards one another, didn't rape, steal, murder, all hell didn't break loose in the inner cities? How come? Because back then, during the Great Depression in the 1920s, although not everybody was a born-again Christian, the consensus, the overall worldview that was commonly shared by all Americans, whether they were born again or not, all Americans at least adhered to biblical principles of right and wrong. They knew, they believed in a moral right and a moral wrong. They believed in the Ten Commandments. They believed in God. They believed in heaven and hell. They believed in doing what was good. They believed that they were accountable to God for what they did here on earth. Whether or not they were born again or not, they still believed in a biblical worldview. And it was a biblical worldview that restrained evil and caused people to act in a civilized, decent manner towards one another during a time of total economic inequality. See, so the lie that impoverished economic conditions causes evil is a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Now, that's not to say that income inequality doesn't add stress, doesn't amplify problems. It does. But the core aspects of a person's inner character, if your inner character is built on Christian principles, which it can't be anymore in America because they've made it illegal to teach biblical principles in the school system. Therefore, the only thing that can, when you make it illegal to teach biblical principles like right and wrong in the school systems, in the media, then the only thing that restrains evil is brute force and the fear of armed police being shot, going to prison, and so on and so forth. That's the nation America has become. That's not the nation we were. America became great because we restrained ourselves. We exercised self-restraint. The average person used to exercise self-restraint based on a biblical belief system of one sort or another. That was deliberately destroyed in order, by the way, to move us into a humanistic world socialist state which was the plan of the globalist elite. Because socialism, communism, and Marxism, as I point out and document in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, which again you can get at paulmcguire.us, all of those systems, socialism, communism, and Marxism, are secretly financed by the globalist elite, the super capitalists, ultra rich. And nobody bothers to scratch their head and ask the obvious question. Why would the world's wealthiest globalist elite, the international banking families, the super capitalists, why are they the ones always financing a world socialist government, socialism and communist revolutions, Marxist revolutions all around the world? Why is it that Wall Street and the super wealthy, super capitalists always finance socialist, communist, Marxist revolutions? And the average person doesn't have a clue. The band marches on. Christians who should know don't. You know why they don't? Because they go to churches where nothing, the truth is not preached in churches. Just a very tiny little microscopic percentage of the truth is preached in the churches. Call it a starvation diet. You're on a starvation diet of truth. Because you're not getting enough truth that your soul needs to survive and to be victorious in Christ. If you knew what the Bible taught, instead of just being entertained with some psychological motivational theories or whatever, if you knew what the Bible taught, you could just glance at a situation and know what was really happening because you'd be filled with the Word of God. You'd know why the super capitalist, the globalist elite, finance communist, Marxist, socialist revolutions, just like they're financing right now as Paul McGuire speaks to you on the Paul McGuire Report. At this very nanosecond, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath, inhale and exhale. No, we're not doing yoga. And think about what I'm going to say right now. Right now in America, the same super capitalist, international banking family, globalist elite are right now in America funding and financing all of the socialist and communist movements in America. They're not being funded by a popular uprising. They're being funded by the wealthiest men and women in the world. Why would the wealthiest men and women in the world want to have communism and Marxism and socialism? Why? Because they understand, unlike Christians, unlike people who dated Ted Bundy, they understand the real purpose, the real evil that's at work here. You see, socialism, communism, and Marxism is nothing more than the ultimate wealth transfer mechanism, which allows the super wealthy, the super globalist elite, the super capitalists, and the international banking families, it allows them to suck all the money from all the working class and the middle class. It allows them to enslave them so that they have to work at slave labor wages. And it's a mechanism which transfers all the wealth of a nation, all the wealth of the nation, all the wealth of the middle class, the working class, and wherever there's wealth, it all gets sucked out of a nation like a giant vacuum cleaner into the private bank vaults of the international banking families, the globalist elite, who live like god kings, who now have total planetary dictatorship over Earth.
Well, I don't believe that.
You know why you don't believe that? Just like the girls didn't believe that Ted Bundy could have been a bad guy and they went somewhere with him privately, and they shouldn't have because they thought he was such a gentleman. Do you think any of those girls, I don't know how many girls he viciously slaughtered. I don't know how many of them he slaughtered. But according to the reports, none of them, maybe one, or two. I think one escaped or something. Maybe two, I don't know. The rest of them were all convinced that Ted Bundy was a virtuous gentleman, caring, sensitive, kind. So they trusted him. They would go anywhere with him. And they did go anywhere with him. They would never have gone anywhere with him if they knew what he had done to the other women and what he was planning to do to them. What he did was unspeakable in terms of its viciousness, cruelty, sadism, violence, blood. I won't spell it out any further than that. But they were all deceived in thinking this guy was just the most perfect gentleman, the most caring guy, the most sensitive guy, the most loving guy, the guy with the most integrity. But inside that very well done performance of Ted Bundy's was a monstrous, psychopathic, sadistic serial killer. You see, people who flirt with socialism, Marxism, and communism are exactly like the girls who dated Ted Bundy and went off with Ted Bundy. There's a real similarity here, and this is what I want to drive home. And I'm using this metaphor on purpose so that you never forget it, and so that you pass it on to your friends, people who need to have wisdom. Because they need, if you love them, you're going to educate them. There's an amazing similarity between the girls who trusted Ted Bundy and the people who are trusting the words of people who are promoting socialism, communism, and Marxism. It's also seductive. So was Ted Bundy. He was very seductive. They come off, these leaders come off like they care about social justice. Oh, really? Fair wealth redistribution. I watch these people being interviewed on TV, and they talk about social justice and redistributing the wealth. How did Ted Bundy talk to those girls? Oh, you're so beautiful. And yet he'd be so virtuous and sweet. He wouldn't maul them. He would be virtuous and sweet, so caring and loving. So these girls seriously dropped their guard around Ted Bundy and followed him to their doom and destruction and death. In the same way, the seductive words of people who talk about social justice and redistributing the wealth and socialism, I listen to some of these people, and I really wonder, are they as psychopathic as Ted Bundy? Are they just ignorant, useful idiots like the communist leader Lenin said they were? Or are they just so cold-hearted they don't care? I mean, it's hard to imagine that people who are in the public eye and who are promoting these things with no blush of shame, are they so infinitely ignorant of what happens? It's hard for me to believe that. You know why it's hard for me to believe that? And you know why it's hard for you to believe that? And this is our area of greatest vulnerability. This is the area where we're exposed to danger and we don't realize it. This is the area that we leave our front door open at night when we shouldn't. This is the area where we let our guard drop down. This is the area where Christians and good people make their biggest mistake. We assume, myself included, that other people are just like us and that they couldn't possibly be telling us wonderful things about communism, socialism, and Marxism unless they really believed it, unless they really thought it would help everybody. We say to ourselves, oh, they couldn't possibly be that evil to sell us down the river, to sell us into a totalitarian nightmare. They couldn't possibly be that like that, couldn't they? When Ted Bundy would ask these women to follow him or go with him somewhere, they went willingly. Because they long ago said, oh, Ted couldn't possibly be a bad guy. There's nothing to fear with Ted Bundy. He's the most virtuous, sensitive, caring, loving man I've ever met. So they drop their guard because in their heads, like in our heads, we can't wrap our heads around that other people could be so horribly evil and corrupt. We have a problem with it because we're not that way ourselves. And that in that area, that's our greatest vulnerability. That's our, the greatest danger place. And if we don't wise up fast, just like those girls, when they went wherever they went with Ted Bundy, there was a period of time where they had the opportunity of running away, getting out of the car and running. There was time before he led them down that final path, wherever it was. But they were so deluded that they walked right into their death with Ted Bundy. In the same way, because we make the false assumption that everybody's good and kind and tries to do the right thing, we let our guard down. We ignore the historical record. The historical record screams and shouts, communism, socialism, and Marxism is a trail of blood. It's a bloodbath in every nation that it's ever been tried in. Just like Ted Bundy led a bloodbath. You can't make that mistake. Life is too short. In America, one would think that the Christian church, which, you know, is supposed to know the truth, every one of the girls who was enamored with Ted Bundy, the serial killer, every one of them didn't believe that Ted Bundy could do anything evil. They thought he was the noblest, most sensitive, kindest guy they ever met in their lives. But you see, there was a certain point in their relationship with Ted Bundy where they threw caution away and fully trusted him. And then as they walked, there was a certain point when all these women who went off with Ted Bundy walked with him past the point of no return. In other words, they walked and trusted with Ted Bundy until they passed the point of no return. There came a place where once they continued with him, there would be no turning back, because believe me, Ted Bundy made sure there was no way for them to get back to safety. So they walked right up to the place, the point of no return, and they kept going with Ted Bundy, the serial killer. In the same way, there are tens and tens of millions of Americans, all races, all ethnic groups, all age categories, all religions, that are walking the path, the point of no return. They're walking to the point of no return. And once they move past the point of no return, there's no going back. It's over. Because when a totalitarian regime it goes into lockdown, it's over. Just like Ted Bundy, what he did to those women. You need to think about it. See, being reticent to think about it, again, comes from being in the place where you lie to yourself. Because what we're doing in the Paul McGuire Report is we're confronting lies. We're dismantling strongholds. And here's the lie we're confronting. Until you're ready to get into the place where you are willing to admit when a lie is a lie, and where you're willing to recognize the difference between deception and truth, until you really get into that place, you're a target, soft target. And you're in the crosshairs of a killer. That's right, you are. But you don't know you are. And that's where America and the church is going. And you know why? Because you didn't desire and hunger for truth. You wanted to. This is how it works. I'm not talking about you, the regular listener of the Paul McGuire Report. I'm talking about the people you know, the people that you have to influence to save this nation, starting with your own kids and family. Oh, they'll ridicule it. They'll deny it. I'm sure there were many mothers and brothers, etc., and people who warned the girls that were dating Ted Bundy. They may have thought he was a decent, honorable guy too, but I'm sure they warned their daughters or these girls who followed Ted Bundy, hey, he seems like a nice guy, but be careful, because they were just using their common sense. He seems like a nice guy, but be careful. Just common sense. Don't break the laws of common sense. And common sense, you know, no matter how nice a guy may seem to be, you don't really know till you know him. And so they were warned, but they scoffed at, oh, you're kidding me, Teddy's the nicest guy in the world. They laughed. I guarantee you they laughed. Because they couldn't bring themselves to believe he was anything but the most charming man they'd ever met. And so, the same thing happens. The same thing happens where we are in America. You try to tell people, people laugh and scoff. They're in denial. They think it can't happen here, and it can happen here. Of course it can. It can happen anywhere. That's the whole point of knowing history. And you and I have enormous influence. And we have the opportunity, at least at this point in time, because we haven't yet, collectively as a nation, we have not yet, we're approaching the point of no return, but we haven't reached it yet. We still have the opportunity to turn this ship around. But remember, that time is limited. So we have to use our influence strategically, and we have to reach out and communicate and educate people, and we have to think about how we're going to do it. Send them a link of this program, but introduce it. Set it up. Because, you see, this is a battle for the hearts and minds of mankind. That's why my book is entitled The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. That's what we're in now. Every American is going through a battle in their minds between good and evil, between truth and deception. And so if they turn on the mainstream media, because it's inherently dishonest. You know why it's inherently dishonest? Because it's only owned by 6 globalist corporations that control all of the content. That in and of itself tells you it has to be dishonest. That's why you'll never see programs in mainstream media about genetically modified organism foods that kill you. That's why you'll never hear about what causes autoimmune diseases, the real reasons. That's why you'll never hear about the dangers of 5G cell phone technology and on and on and on. You won't hear any of this in any of the mainstream news. No matter how nice and sweet and trustworthy and squeaky clean they act, you won't ever hear it because they can't tell you the truth because their owners, their masters, won't allow them to. So you can't get the truth from them. You can get some truth, not much. Some. So you have to be feeding your mind on sources of information that have both integrity and substance and content that educate you with precision in order that people can make up their own minds. But you've got to give people an opportunity to be influenced and exposed by information that is different than the propaganda that they receive in the mainstream media. Because that's what it is, it's propaganda. It's George Orwell's 1984, it's Big Brother time. The purpose of the Paul McGuire Report is to spread the truth of God's word everywhere. It's to spread a biblical worldview everywhere. It's to set people free in their minds, especially Christians, as well as non-Christians. It's not to play church or some religious little game. I'm in it for real. I believe you're in it for real. And so, this is the most critical time in our nation's history. You know that, and I know that. Therefore, we either give it everything we have, And in addition to giving it everything we have, we do so intelligently and with wisdom. And we strategically engage the lies, dismantle them before they engulf people. And in order to do that, we have to expose them to information and content in the form of radio programs like this, and videos, and books, and messages that contain the entire truth of the Bible, like we do at Paradise Mountain Church, not just little snippets of humanistic motivational theories. In order to do that, in order to do the outreach we're doing and to expand it and to intensify it, because the battle is raging, I need your continued intercessory prayer support. I need you to partner with me in sending out links, spreading the information. I need you to pray, get real with God, as so many of you do, and I thank you for it, and do exactly what God tells you to do in terms of making financial donations and contributions to this ministry. And you can do that by going to paulmcguire.us. You can do it electronically. You can do it by mail. But we must have finances in order to wage a spiritual war. And anybody who doesn't understand that has obviously not waged a spiritual war. And together, if we will operate in unity and give it 100%, or really everything, more than that, 1,000%, 10,000%, we can turn it around. But we can't turn it around if we have fear. You have to be absent from fear. And the way you're absent from fear is you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. If indeed you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that fear will be broken. It will be cast away. So the way you get rid of fear is you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you confess any sins that you may need to confess to him. And then you ask Jesus to supernaturally fill you with the power of his Holy Spirit. And you do that regularly. It's not like this one-time thing. I don't know where people got this one-time thing idea. I think it's ridiculous. I ask God constantly to fill me with his Holy Spirit. I don't believe in this nonsense. You ask once and it's done. I don't see the fruit of that in people's lives. I see a lot of people who I don't see any evidence of the Holy Spirit in them at all. And they're walking around saying, I prayed it once, it must be the case always. I don't see anything. We need to be regularly filled with the Holy Spirit, which comes from praying, spending time around God, reading his word, renewing our minds, and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And attending a church which is centered on the Bible, biblical reality, and the truth of God's word. Not if you're going to go to a church which is based on deception, you are going to even be more ripe for deception. So we have an opportunity. That's a God-given opportunity. And if we really are tenacious, if we really grab hold of God, he'll not only turn this thing around. He'll send us a biblical revival. And if we really grab hold of God, God will send us a biblical third great awakening. Why? Because God has a prophetic destiny for America. It's his desire to use America in the last days before the Lord returns to bring in a massive last days soul harvest. What other nation is going to do it? There's no other nation to do it. There's no other nation to do it. Their laws are against it. And the laws that permit it in America are under attack. God will step into the situation. He's done that for his people all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Whenever God's people repented and cried out to him, then God would send his power and God would deliver them. And he'll do the same thing for us because he's no respecter of persons. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. You've been listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.